there, everyone. This is Brayden and Tally Waller with the voice of my beloved podcast. We have some more fun things to talk about today. We kind of zipped through the last bit of our testimony, so we're going to, or our story, our love story that we started last week. So we're going to touch on that again and talk about a couple other things. But first, Brayden's going to give a ministry update.
Yes, so things have been going great down at the jail. I've been going on a weekly basis. Actually, last week I was able to go in three times. There's a guy down there named Zach that he, about 3 weeks ago, tried to take his own life in the jail cell. He took some ropes and some clothes and just, you know, tried to hang himself. So he ended up surviving, and since then he's had a really strong hunger for the things of God. And so I've been able to go down there and read the Bible with him. We've been reading right through the book of Genesis, started in chapter 1, and now we're at chapter 38, 39, something like that. So just spending good chunks of time just reading the word. I'm able to talk with him through it. And so it's a really good opportunity. Keep me in prayer with Zach that I'll have just wisdom to know how to minister to him and how to bring him to the knowledge of God's love for him. And he'll have a real turnaround. So it's been some really good things happening down there. And I just wanted to share also something that God's really put on my heart since around 18 or so. I had a heightened interest in evangelism. And this is something that God's just put in my heart. And I want to see more fruit in this, but it's just something, it's a seed that's in my heart. And I want to just continue to plant the seed of God's word in others' lives. But I just want to share this thing. About 3 years ago, I was up in Pennsylvania, and this guy shared with me the idea of writing your testimony down on a little card. And so I thought, why have I not thought of that before? You know, this is such a great idea. I never really liked the idea of the prefabricated tracks. That just seemed a little impersonal and a little bit, I don't know, just plastic to me. Yeah. Not that God can't use that. I've heard people had radical testimonies of people, you know, giving them tracks and having a turnaround. But I just wanted to share this. This is my testimony. And I'm saying here, I'm using the name Jesus because this is what our culture understands Yeshua to be. In my personal prayer life, I use the name Yeshua. That's just more personal to me. It's, you know, what I believe his mother and father would have called him. But as I'm relating to the American culture, many people don't recognize that name as well. And so this, I'm going to read my testimony here and with the name Jesus here. So how Jesus changed my life is the title of this testimony. It says, I was raised in a God-honoring family. I am very thankful for this. However, my upbringing did not make me immune to the struggles of a heart at war with sin. At age 14, I surrendered my life to God and trusted Jesus for salvation. Tears of joy sprang from my eyes as I sang, Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. I can remember that so vividly, just singing that song, and I just remember crying, just thinking, God, thank you for salvation. If you don't know that hymn, it's a great old hymn. This was not a going through the motions experience. I felt deep within my soul that my sins were gone and that I was as innocent as a newborn child. It was an amazing feeling to just feel, you know, be born again. Actually, just to give a little bit of a parenthesis here in this track, it was the middle of winter and we were in Russell Creek and there was no bodies of water that were going to work for a baptism outside of being inside. So we actually brought the horse trough into the house and filled it up, this water trough, and Zach and I were baptized in that. Just a funny little side note. But anyway, after that baptism, it just felt like a newborn child, completely free, and just an amazing thing. So back here to the track, 3 years later, I experienced something that would, again, change my life. While on my knees praying outside, I looked up and saw Jesus hanging on a tree. He looked at me and said, Brayden, I love you. I was overcome and once again brought to tears by the power of his love. If you're reading this now, you need to know that his love for you is so great that he laid down his life for you. 1 John 3:16 says, By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. Jesus said that his disciples will be witnesses of him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. To be a witness of something means that you can testify in court whether or not something is true. I am a witness that Jesus is alive as the resurrected Messiah. My witness is based on two things. Number one, I have studied the prophecies in the Bible concerning who the Messiah would be, and Jesus fulfilled them with extraordinary accuracy. Number two, he has revealed himself to me in a very real way. What Jesus has done for me, he can do for you. You must repent of your sins and give your life to him. If you do this, I believe you will find, as I have, that living for Jesus fulfills the deepest longings of the human soul. So that's the little track card. And so as I'm out in public, I just like to testify. You know, he said that there's going to be witnesses in the uttermost parts of the earth. And I just feel in this little corner of Southeast Missouri, I just want to do my part of being a witness of the resurrected Messiah. He is alive. And so I just want to encourage that. If that's, you know, something that God puts on your heart, just to, you know, make your testimony known. And you can just, you know, I can just be in the checkout line at a store and just be able to hand this to somebody, say, you know, this is my story. And people don't normally turn you down if you say, this is my story. If you start going into a whole preaching to them, then they're probably going to check off. But if you say, this is my story, just a little card. And I haven't had many people turn me down.
A couple
have done it. But I'm not turned back. So I just want to share that, you know, because I'd share my testimony before, but I wanted to make sure and just share that too, just the significance of being born again. And I just, you know, I want to share that with others, mm-hmm. the power of being born again. You can have your slate clean mm-hmm. and just a new start with God. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing thing.
Yep. Yes. Praise God. So we are going to pick up again with our story. We kind of zipped through it the last bit when we signed off last time. So there were a couple things that I thought we could just talk about or expound on a bit. And one of them is dreams. Braden talked about a dream that he had had, and that was a big directional thing for him as far as pursuing me. And so I thought we should talk a little bit about dreams. Because, well, number one, I grew up in a kind of a non-denominational charismatic church.
Chandelier swinging.
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
No, not necessarily.
They didn't have chandeliers in your church, right?
No. They're, really sweet, sincere people. Love them to this day. But there's, you know, a lot of dreams and visions and all of that kind of stuff, which I always, you know, I appreciate that, but I think that there is a testing that all of that has to go through. And that's the part I wanted to talk about, because I actually had a friend that was really close to me, and she was in this relationship with someone, and she had a dream that she was going to marry him, and so she was pursuing this really... Actually, I've had a couple of stories like this. She's supposed to get married to this guy because she has a dream, and then he ends up finding someone else and leaving her, and then she's disappointed and wondering why. And so there's... And this happened actually twice. There was another couple, this is during youth group times, that they both had dreams and they didn't even like each other, but they were going to get married. And then they turned it, you know, cut it off or whatever, because they both couldn't go through with it because they, anyways, there's, this put me in a place where I was just like, okay, I never want to just go for a dream, because I saw how that can turn out at times. And so not all dreams are from God.
Dreams, you'd say, are more nudges.
They're nudges.
Yes.
Yeah. They're not all from God. They're not all, some of them are your own imaginations.
Right.
And then number three, on top of that, sometimes they are from God, but it does not mean that that dream is going to play out in the way that it played out in your dream.
Now, I would say they're nudges unless there's an angel that shows up in the dream and says, do, like with Joseph, right? Where the angel showed up and told Joseph five times in the book of Matthew, in the very beginning of the story, he says, now it's time to go to Egypt. No, take your shoe away. So that's, that the angel shows up in your dream and gives you clear direction, and that's, you know, that's more than a
just
nudge.
Just do it.
Yeah.
But in general, I think that that dreams are just something that I just want to talk about them a little bit. Mm-hmm. So for you, Brayden, your dream.
It was a very short dream. It was a dream. You know, some dreams are kind of more along the lines of maybe what you call a night vision. And so it's like mm-hmm. just really strong, like a real strong impression. And this happened like right when I fell asleep. That's rare that dreams happen right when you fall asleep. Mm-hmm. Most of the time it's as you're waking up, right? You have this little dream before you wake up. But this was, I just laid my head down, and I've been in prayer about this a lot too. This is something, you know, if you're seeking direction from God on something, that's another good indicator.
Right.
You know, you're seeking direction and he gives you a dream along the lines of what you've been praying about, then that's something, that's a really good nudge, and you know, to let you know, one way or the other. So I've been in prayer about whether I should pursue Tally as a wife. Cause you know, as I mentioned in the last podcast, the natural indicators would not have said, like the psychologists and all these people that would have said these two would work great together. that would not have been the final analysis
like,
on
no,
that.
No. No.
We'd had a lot of counseling. They probably said, no, you aren't really good. But God's ways are not our ways. Right.
Right.
So God gives me this dream, and it was very short, very, very short, But I knew afterwards that it was a nudge. It was a good nudge. And you know what? After that dream, if I had gone to Kenny and said, Kenny, what do you think? And this is what I did. I called him up. I said,
well,
Kenny,
first you talk to your parents.
Yeah, I talked to my parents
about it.
Your parents
are on board about it.
Yeah, I said, yeah, this is a good direction. And I call up Kenny, Tally's dad, and I ask him what he thinks about it. And you know, if any one of those points had said no, then it would have been a good indication, okay, you had a dream, but maybe we're not going to just continue on with this. Mm-hmm. This would be a red light.
Yeah, which I also want to point out too, just with that part of the story. You can get a dream, go through the steps, get to the point where you're asking the father and you get a no, or even it might even get to the girl and you get a no. And then I find guys really have a, which you could probably talk about this more, but you have a struggle. Like, did I really hear from God?
Right.
Can I hear from God? Was this wrong? And I.
Yeah. I want to add to that. There's a biblical precedent for that too. We have Rebecca, her parents ask her, said, do you want to go with this man? When the servant came to find a wife for Isaac, right?
Mm-hmm.
They asked Rebecca, will you go with this man? And right. So she had a decision to make. Would she go or not? And so that's really what it comes down to. You know, are all these pieces in line? And mm-hmm. these are all indicators of what is God's will in the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I think for the guy, and of course, I'm a woman, so I have no idea what this is like. But for the guy that is, I mean, I do know what it's like as far as just my journey with God. But like to have that feeling of, I thought I heard from God, I went down, and now all of a sudden this is no, what's the deal here?
Right. And yeah, so, I know a few guys that went through that.
Yeah. And so I think that there's this, you're struggling with some discouragement, with some questioning, like, oh, do I hear from God? How, you know, what am I going to know next time? And there's almost this fear of like, I don't want to do that again or whatever. But I feel like that's all part of the journey. Mm-hmm. If this isn't a perfect, like, I said it last week, we're not trying to develop a method that's going to pave out this perfect trial-free zone. It's not God's way. He never said that. He said, in this world, there will be tribulations, but be of good cheer, right? For I have overcome the world. And so I think sometimes he leads us down roads and he leads us into places where we're going to be tested to strengthen us, to produce patience in us, to produce a longing. Okay, God, what was that about? What are you trying to show me in this? Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to encourage those that have been in that spot where you feel like you heard from God and then things seem to change up or something like that. I feel like that's all part of the journey. And it's not necessarily that you're not hearing right or you don't have a relationship with God or whatever. I don't think that's what it's about. I think it's about the journey.
Right. And not to go into too much detail, but that even happened with me, mm-hmm. about a couple years, maybe a year or so before I pursued Tally, I was turned down by someone, and it was all part of the journey. It was all part mm-hmm. of my growth and humbling. I was just singing this song to Tally, something in this world's gonna humble you. It's gonna shake your heart. It's gonna get your attention. No matter who you are before your life is through, there's a good chance that something's gonna humble you. We're just singing this song before the podcast. But yeah, there's a good chance that something's going to humble you. And I have not met many Samuels so far that none of their words fell to the ground. Like, Samuel had a 100% track record. Like, he heard from God and not one of his words fell to the ground. I've not met many people like that. Mm-hmm. And so you're more than likely, going to have some trial period. Mm-hmm. And, not to take away your confidence in wanting to act in the will of God that you feel like, the way he's leading you.
Right.
But there, it's not going to be fail-proof.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's so important. There's also in the book, the Betrothed book, in the Beloved book, I believe in the Beloved book too, there's dreams and stuff in a lot of the stories.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing I just really wanted to encourage to take heart in, number one, with the girls, in our place, I think we have to recognize the place that we have, which is, basically waiting and submitting to the Father's will and not trying to make something happen, not trying to bring God's will. I think that place of just submitting and allowing God to do the work, I think there's so much strength and so much firm foundation that comes when you allow that and don't push things for yourself, push things in your own way. So let's say you get a dream I love the story of Mary and Joseph. And Mary, and you know, I've had to go back and think about this. Okay, so Mary gets these dreams. She's going to birth the Messiah, right? She has these dreams, angels appearing to her and stuff. Now, you know, Mary could do different things with that, okay? She could take that and she could go growing up, you know, as she's raising Yeshua, she could be like, hey guys, I'm raising the Messiah right now. Like, this is the Messiah right here. Like, I got chosen as the mother. Like, I, you know, I'm just trying to think of putting myself in her shoes, what that must have been like. But it actually says that she took these things and she hid them in her heart. Mm-hmm. And I love that because I think there's so many times when God speaks to us something in all sorts of seasons of life, he speaks to us something and it's not something that we're supposed to make happen, not something that we're supposed to proclaim, not something that we're even supposed to act on or do something about, but we're supposed to hide these things in our hearts. Mm-hmm. And I think that's such an important thing to, especially in this season, if you feel like God is speaking to you, hide those things in your heart and allow God to bring it about. Allow mm-hmm. God to bring about his plan and his purpose in your life. And I love the stories that we see where, you know, this was a season of testing for people. My sister was one, had a dream. And God used 2 years of testing for her of what are you going to do with this dream? Are you going to bank everything on it? Are you going to get distracted by it? Are you going to allow your thoughts and emotions to be focused on this thing? It was years of testing for her. And she, I believe that there's a reward at the end of that. And God really does such a good work in your life as you continually just lay it down and submit and saying, I'm hiding these things in my heart and I'm submitting it all mm-hmm. to you. I'm not going to force anything to happen. It's good. God speaks through dreams, and we have to be careful with them.
Yes.
Yeah.
We should share a little bit of our story, Tally, about the... So we left off last session talking about kind of what led up to me pursuing Tally. And so can we just share a little bit about what that looked like as far as calling?
As far as you...
Like me calling Kenny.
You call, right.
It's kind of a funny story because I had not called Kenny, I don't think, ever before. And so it wasn't like a regular occurrence. But it turns out when I called that they were all together just hanging out in the bedroom, I think.
Yeah. Well, I was down. It was a Shabbat. I think it was a Shabbat. And I was down. I was actually the only one living at home at that point, going to school for nursing. And I was down. I was down there in my parents' bedroom. We were all just sitting on the bed chatting and stuff. And so, like I said, my parents had really been impressed with Braden for years that when we got to know them and stuff. And so when this call came and we knew how their family was going to go about this whole thing, we picked up the phone. My mom actually answered the phone and saw Waller and was like, oh, it's the Wallers. It's probably Sherry. Picked it up, said hi. And then she finds out it's Braden. And she looked at my dad with the biggest eyes you've ever seen.
You have to know Diane to really appreciate it.
She just looked at my dad with these big eyes and said, Kenny, it's Braden. she was just like, he's calling. So my dad took the phone and went upstairs for the next half hour. I think I was brushing my teeth. And I just sat there and my mom and I just kind of sat there staring at each other for the next like couple minutes. Just like, what are they talking about? And like, no, it couldn't be. So it was quite a time.
I thought Kenny would wait a little while to tell you because that's what a lot of guys do. A guy will approach them about pursuing their daughter and they'll say, well, let me pray about that for a couple months. Your dad, he came right in and
he came down, tears in his eyes, and said, Braden would like to pursue you as a wife. So,
I had no idea that it was him on their radar. And so this was all pretty shocking to me to realize that Tally was even thinking along that line.
Yeah, which I, you know, obviously, yeah, I explained my struggle, you know, with continually laying it down. And so can I give another little bit of the story here? Okay, so which I'm not sure how much of this I've shared before, but there was another guy that I was talking to before this time, before Braden had called, and a person who I think I've shared bits of this before. There's a guy who naturally, like, the psychologist would have put us together more so because, like, we had a lot more in common and stuff like that. But as far as life calling, that's what was so different. He had totally different vision for his life than I had for mine. And so that's another thing I just really wanted to really encourage is to encourage you to really delight yourself in God. Because what does it say? It says, delight yourself in God and he will give you the desires of your heart. Okay. So what he does is as you delight yourself in him, he births dreams and desires and longings in your heart. That's what he births in you. And those are things that are God given. Now there's definitely, if we're not delighting ourselves in God and we're delighting ourselves in other things like fame and fortune and whatever else, your desires aren't going to be in line with God's, right? But if we delight, if our delight is in God, he gives us desires that are holy and godly and give us direction. And so I just wanted to express how important that is to have vision, to have direction. And that's going to look different for a lot of different people. But, you know, the world would say that, you know, I can't tell you how many people I've run into. You know, we've met lots of people over the years and I've asked them, well, what's your story and blah, 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 and asked them, so how many, did you talk about how many children you wanted to have or whatever? And there's very rarely that a couple talks about life vision in the dating world. Life vision, what are we shooting for? They don't talk about how many children they want to have. They don't talk about, there's just so many big things that, that people miss on in the dating world because you get emotionally involved with someone and you get these feelings and then you're not thinking clearly. And so, that's just such a big part is knowing what God's called you to and submitting yourself, and as a person approaches you, as a woman, as a person approaches you, being able to say, I know the things that God has put on my heart, and they are in line with this man that's approaching me. And so I think that's something that's just really important.
You should share the whole thing. Mom was actually at the house and you were sharing the struggle with her, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, I was, just sharing because I was really thrown off by this other guy's, interest. And so, I was just really like, should I just get married to him? Cause you know, who knows if anyone will ever ask before. And this is right after Braden had shared the dream that he had dreamt about me, but they weren't, you know, they were at my house, but they, but he waited to tell me until he went home. But yeah, she was like, no, don't settle. There's someone out there. Yeah.
There's and somebody so, out there for you. I know there's somebody. There.
So, yeah. So God is good in how he leads and directs and, you know, cause there's so much, life changes and you don't know where you're going to be in 10 years. You don't know where you're going to be in 20 years. But God does, and he knows exactly what you need he knows the exact partner that you need to go throughout all that life has ahead of you. And so trusting in that is so much more than trusting in our own plans or our own ideas of how we're going to make, things happen in our lives. And the importance of knowing the Holy Spirit and submitting yourself to allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life, as you go through this process is just such a big thing.
Yeah. I think we should take a few minutes, Tally, just to talk about what that period looked like between getting the go-ahead.
Oh, getting the go-ahead.
The green light and the actual betrothal, which was actually for us about 3 months, if I remember correctly. Uh-huh. We spent some quality time during this period. And up till the betrothal, there's no covenant, right? And so we're
right.
Once that covenant's made, then that's the point where it's like, okay, there's no pulling back now. But we had about a 3-month period where I would say in a lot of ways we were starting to fall in love. We actually made an agreement that we wouldn't say I love you until the betrothal.
Yes. So, yeah. Which I think that we probably were pretty safe. We wanted to take a really safe route, which was being a bit reserved until, so we saved touch. We didn't touch each other at all during that time.
Right.
We didn't say I love you. And we just kind of allowed ourselves to kind of get to know each other and open up to each other. And there's really no way to avoid that because we're writing our ketubah, our marriage contract, our vows
right.
during this season. And so when you're writing vows, this person, you're sitting there, you know, working through these things, there's no way for, you know, to not have a connect. Like we were definitely beginning to fall in love.
Right.
Yeah. But we were also reserved. We wanted that betrothal mark to be a really distinct time where it was like, this is covenant. This is the time of full release. Not full release because the wedding was, but right. generally speaking emotionally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you could have powered a whole city off the electricity that was produced from our hands touching each other for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I was shocked by that. I was like, wow. You know, that's funny. It's a play on words there. I was shocked by it.
Right.
But it was amazing. And we share these things. We're sharing our story, as I mentioned before, just to say this is how God led us. Mm-hmm. And this is by no means saying this is the way you need to do it. You have to do it. This is just, we're just sharing our story and saying we were blessed as we did this.
Yeah.
We really look back and we think, thank you, Father, for leading us in a path of peace. Mm-hmm. As we went through this, I can really testify that there was no emotional roller coaster much. Mm-hmm. There were some periods in the beginning. You want to go into the school thing?
Well, okay, yeah. So
there was a little bit of bumpy bumps in the road. But,
yeah, okay. So So Braden calls, and obviously we're very excited. But I still I'm going to touch on this later. This whole story, because there's this whole little blip here that I'm not going to tell right now. I'm going to tell it at a later time. But there was a season where I had to really get, even though I had admiration and respect and appreciation for Braden up until this point, when it was actually approached to me as like, okay, now it's up to you. It was like, wow, this is weighty. Like it was not a just flippant, oh yeah, of course I'll marry him. Yeah, it was like, okay, God, like what is your, and I think that everyone kind of has that, you just want to be sure, you want to know. And so, I had that season, and that was a couple weeks there. We actually went down to visit the Wallers after Braden called. We spent time with them, had some discussions, which I'll go into more detail later, and went back up to Pennsylvania. We went back up, and it wasn't until about a week after that I got clear confirmation, a very big yes go ahead, which was so important, and I needed that. I needed to have a very clear Holy Spirit yes.
A powerful experience in the love of God.
Yes, yes. So we had a yes, and then it was once we got the yes, there was like a breakthrough, and Brain and I, that's when we first started talking on the phone. And pretty much Braden is very like goal oriented kind of person. And we started having discussions about what does betrothal mean? Cause we didn't know anyone that did betrothal before this time.
A guy in Canada.
One guy
in Canada that had done it. And I talked to him on the phone some.
Yeah. But we were pretty much trying to figure out what we were going to do, whether marriage license and, you know, how we were going to, I don't know, just how we were going to walk through the whole thing.
It was December. We were not really sure when we were actually going to have the betrothal. And mm-hmm. we were trying to figure out, because Tally was wrapping up her schooling at a nursing school, and she was going to be finishing that spring. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to figure out, do we wait till she's done with that schooling or do we do it beforehand? And
this brings us to, so Braden comes up to visit us in Pennsylvania for a couple days with his grandmother and step-grandfather, and they came up and brother Zach came, and this was such a sweet season because this is when we started writing our ketubah. We actually wrote the whole thing there, but it was also a very intense season because my parents really wanted me to finish nursing school, and we had to make this big decision on whether we were going to finish nursing school or not, which, praise God, he let me out of it. God let me out of it through my parents letting me out of it. I didn't have to finish school. And then Braden also met my cousins and family and aunt and uncles, which that's a really fun story. Because I'm like, basically like, hey guys, cause usually I come from a big Italian family and you bring the boyfriend over for like a couple years before you announce the engagement. And then it's another year or two and then they get married. That's like the general. So this was like a, hey, I know I haven't said anything, but I'm getting married and I want you to meet him. And so Braden got interrogated by my cousins who were like, who are you? What are you going to do? How are you going to provide for her?
And they're all sweet. It was just funny.
They're really sweet. Yeah. Very loving.
You have to know Italians to really appreciate it. They're just very like in your face, in your space. And that Tally's aunt, Maggie, she had heard this thing that we weren't touching at all. And so it came time to pray as the family gathered around in a circle to pray, grab hands. She ran right over next to me, grabbed my hand and said, I touched him first. <She's> like, she had all kind of funny questions for us. Like, how are you going to know he's a good kisser if you haven't kissed him before? And she was just funny.
It was a fun time. It was funny. Yeah, we're getting to the end of our time here, but this is it's so fun telling the story.
We can take it back up again.
Yeah. That's generally speaking, that's the story. And Braden left, went back to Tennessee, and as I said, we were in contact over the phone. And the next trip I made down to Tennessee was in January, and it was 2 weeks before our betrothal. And that was the last time. So we'll pick it up there next time. And I think we're going to go into our actual betrothal ceremony and what that all looks like and what things we incorporated. So until next time, this is Braden and Tally reminding you to listen to the voice of your beloved bridegroom. He is coming quickly.